This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It wasn't all that long ago that I was able to do this. That was me back in late February drawing the attention of Karen McCadden's dog when I knocked on the door. McCadden is a poet who happens to live just a few steps away from my own home in South Burlington. We had arranged to speak about her new book of poems called Keep This to Yourself.
Hey, Mitch. How are we doing? Do you want a thing to, like, lean on, or is this want this table over here? Let's do this.
Let me
get sit closer if you want.
I'm going to move a little bit closer.
It seems like forever and a day ago now when the idea of moving closer to someone to get a good recording didn't seem like such a dangerous thing to do. Now, of course, McCadden and I wave to each other from a safe distance. On that day in February, though, we spoke about a collection of poetry that was born of grief from a health problem very different from COVID-19, but no less devastating, the opioid epidemic.
It's the great irony, right? People's behavior when they're addicts often becomes conflated with who you think they are.
McCadden is talking about her younger brother, Jim, her only sibling, who was in his late 40s when he died in 2018 from an overdose of heroin laced with fentanyl in Massachusetts, where he was living. McCadden says her brother's struggle with addiction started in his teens when he sought pain medication after a dirt bike accident that left him with a broken neck. He turned to heroin as he got older, but McCadden says even in the throes of his worst drug lapses, her brother was someone people loved to be around.
Regardless of how difficult his life was or regardless of his behaviors, he was always an intensely sweet person. You know, he was a great father and a deeply loving person.
The poems in Keep This to Yourself are all about her brother and his death that left McCadden an only child. But many of the poems were written before his death and proved, sadly, to be prescient.
The first poem in the collection called When My Brother Dies was written years ago. Just practicing, you know, like this, like with addiction, you sort of always, I was always convinced I would outlive my brother. Like, well, when is it going to happen? You know, when is this illness going to take him? So I wrote that poem years ago. I wrote a bunch of them years ago. And then after his passing, within the few months after his passing, I wrote the other half of the poems.
You really don't have to read between the lines to sense that among the many emotions that you have over your brother's death, anger is one of them. In the poem, My Brother Wailing, you write, "There is a river outside my window, which is more than I ever asked for. Sure, a river is a bigger monster than I'm used to, but most of the time, it is no worse than my brother." Why do you use that word monster in reference to your brother in this poem?
You know, people who are addicted to drugs, they don't always act like themselves. And the things that they're driven to do out of desperation are monstrous. You know, you have a family that you trust and you lean on, and then you steal from them. And your parents give and give and give, and then you become a taker. You become reliant on that because you don't have what you need. And the desperation of his behavior, the way he would talk to people when he was desperate, was nothing like who he was deeply inside of himself. It's an illness that causes behavior that's monstrous.
The title of this book of poems is really, really striking. Keep This to Yourself.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to keep this to yourself. Why?
I think that the scourge of this epidemic is that people keep it to themselves. It's that people are ashamed and people are cagey, if that's the right word, about these narratives. You know, I think there's a great movement right now toward being accepting of people with mental health issues and mental illness as a thing that we're not ashamed of. And I think that addicts need us to not be ashamed of them. And I don't mean like that we should be like, hey, you know, drug addiction's okay. I don't mean that. I mean like being in treatment's okay. And you know, at one point my brother was homeless because any of the shelters in Boston were across the river and his clinic was on the other side of the river. And he could not afford the transportation to get back and forth to get his treatment. What is that? A city sets this huge city like Boston deep in the throes of this epidemic. You know, I just found it utterly bizarre. And I tried to, like, well, maybe I can buy him the transportation if I can get him into a shelter. I was working really hard on that. I couldn't afford it. So it's things like that, like, I don't really know if I'm making sense, but
you're making a lot of sense. And also, you know, having read the book, I'm starting to see now what all these references to rivers are, and yeah. It goes throughout the book, and obviously this was a huge source of frustration for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, it really was, you know, and it was another reminder that no, we can't help him. I don't know. I think a lot of families struggle with shame, and I think what that engenders is isolation and real, real grief.
Karen McCadden knows she's written a collection of poems that are not easy to take in. I found reading more than one or two at a time to be emotionally wrenching. But collectively, they tell a story and paint a picture that may be achingly familiar to some, and McCadden hopes important for others.
I really struggled with whether I was doing the right thing, writing about it. But in the end, I don't want my brother's death to just have been another senseless loss. I want it to be his death to have been of some use.
I asked Karen McCadden to read the last poem from this slim volume. It's called Weeks After My Brother Overdoses.
I search Craigslist for sadness, a white couch the only result. Happiness lands red shipping containers, and that's it. I wander through days like an envelope marked, please forward. Listen, my brother is a ghost. I keep thinking I am not a sister anymore, though others assure me I still am. Just sister them, builders say, to make a thicker beam or to span a distance. Join the faces of 2x6s with nails. Make more from less. Make do. No one will let me have my sadness or tally what I've lost. I make lists like recipes for how to go on alone. I draw his death when I doodle, making little crime scenes, as if this epidemic were a murderer, a suspect, a criminal. I draw him on every sidewalk to inflate the numbers, to give my brother to everyone. Inside the outline, I do some math. I add him to 72,000 and subtract him from me.